Tanya, Perek 20 and 21, Bezrat Hashem. Hopefully we'll do today. So this is a very interesting, well, all very interesting. This one's also very interesting. Let's see. V'hine, moda'at zot, this moda'a, l'chol, ki mitzvot v'azarat, the mitzvah, and azarat, avodah zarah, right? It's known to everyone that the mitzvah and the azarah and the warning about the mitzvah of doing and warning of... Okay. Ki mitzvah azaras avodah zarah shehem shnei dibrot. They're the two dibrot harishonot. That means, anochi Hashem elokecha, I'm the God your Lord, v'lo yeh lecha. And you shouldn't have any other gods. Chas v'shalom. Anochi v'lo yeh lecha. Hem klalot kol hatzerah kula. That means, those are the shoroshim, the roots of the whole Torah. Ki dibu anochi, the dibu anochi Hashem elokecha includes all the positive commandments, right? V'lo yeh lecha, and you shouldn't have al panai any avodah zarah, kolel kol shasa, all the shoroshim, the roots of all 365 negative commandments. V'lachen shamanu. Therefore, he says, we heard these two commandments, Anochi v'lo yeh lecha levad mipi agvura. The we heard, i.e., Ashorashim, we heard directly from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now that's an important thing. He's not explaining mipnei shehem klalot haTorah kula, because they include the whole Torah. What does he mean by that? This is very, very deep. If we understand, it was actually a chet of Klal Yisrael they didn't hear the other dibrot. That's Beshorash in its root, that's the reason for the Chet HaEgel. The intermediary of Moshe caused that when they didn't have Moshe, they needed another intermediary. They weren't on the level to hear directly from Hashem. So that means there's something about the first two commandments that we heard from Hashem, that it's Mushrash in Klal Yisrael, and that which makes us Klal Yisrael. And that's the Klal Yisrael Kol HaTorah. That means there's something about us, something very pnimi, that is nitkan completely, that is completely fixed. I.e., even though the other 10 commandments we didn't hear, or the other mitzvahs we didn't hear, we heard them from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the shoroshim came directly from Hashem. I.e., in those shoroshim, there's something that was completely fixed. You with me? And because those are completely fixed, right, because Kabbalah Satara was chal, happened on that which is Shorashi, it's possible for us to reach the rest of the Kabbalah Satara with Teresh Baal Peh. You understand? We're not going to go into it, but that's the klalos. When you say there's a klal, that means if I say there's a rule, the rest is pirutim, the rest is details. The rest we didn't hear mipi agvura. We didn't hear directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That means something which is not directly heard did not make that level of clarity or impact on us. It's our avoda to bring that level of clarity to us, and that's the toil in Teresh Baal Peh. The shorish for Teresh Baal Peh is the Maisa Kabbalah Satara. And then we have Yitro and all the other things. I didn't go into that, but we passed Parsha Yitro. But simply speaking, maybe I should do it, because it's very nafkamina to us. The Parsha of Teresh Baal Peh is also the Parsha of Geirus. Yitro was a gear, right? What did Yitro give to Klal Yisrael? He was Mechadish, his name, Yitro, Yeta. He was given the name Vav, Yitro, on he was Mosif Parsha B'Torah. He added a Parsha in the Torah, right? A gear? Why should a gear be Mosif Parsha B'Torah? Well, the Torah is not Mushlam, we need someone to come out from B'chutz to be Galehas. Yitro is the Shorish for all Torah Shebaal Peh. He came and told Moshe one thing. Moshe, check. Yeah, it's right. Put it in. He's the Shorash of Teresh Baal. Why is a Ger the Shorash of Teresh Baal Peh? Now, go through another thing, a few things. Rabbi Akiva, who we know is also the Shorash of Teresh Baal Peh, was Ben Gerim, was the son of a Ger. Look, if he's a son, it means he has ancestry of a Ger. Why is that? Unklus was a Ger. Well, Unklus only had a Roman name that we call him Targum Unklus. We couldn't change his name and give him a nice Jewish name like Moshe or Yosef or something. We call him Unklus the Ger, and we call his parish on the Targum Unklus. What happened here? A Roman? And we give him the same name, the same Roman name? Why? Why did Chazal do such a thing? I'm sure he changed his name. I'm sure he wasn't called Unklus. Right? What happened here? And Chazal tell us that Unklus Perush on the Torah was forgotten. It was given at Har Sinai. Unklus came and he renewed that which forgotten. So now I explain to you what a ger is. And if you understand it well, you'll understand also what a Baal Tshuva is. A Baal Tshuva, the way we talk about it, is not really a Baal Tshuva. The way we're talking about it, he's really a form of ger. Now I'm going to explain to you why. What does a ger mean? A ger means someone who came from a hidden place and gets revealed. He's not supposed to be there. Reveal something means it's there and I expose it. That means if you're looking for treasure, the treasure's there. You didn't know about it. It's there. A ger is a neshama, a Yiddish neshama that was there, that was revealed. That's what a ger is. It was hidden. It was hidden from us. Torah Shebaal Peh is not to be mechadish as Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh is to reveal that which is hidden in the Torah. Yitro didn't give a chiddush and God didn't know about it. It was there in the Torah. It was a mutman. It was hidden in the Torah. It was revealed. A Baal Tshuva is the same thing. Baal Tshuva came from a place that he was not known. He was hidden. He was nitma bein agoyim. He was a tinok shenishbo. Nishba, he was captured by the goy, he was hidden, and he revealed himself. Torah Shebaal Peh, that koach of revealing that which is hidden, is the koach of Yitro, the koach of Torah Shebaal Peh, Rabbi Yekiva, the koach of Unklus, to reveal that which is hidden. A Baal Tshuva has that koach. That's a special koach everyone in this room has. He has the ability to reveal that which is hidden, because that's what he did in his life. What you do in your life is the Torah that you have also. That's the koach you have in Torah. And that's a special thing about all of you guys here. So just remember it. Now, when we're talking about, going back to the Tanya, we're talking about Shoroshim in the Torah. The Torah Shel Baal Peh is to reveal how every one of those mitzvahs are related to those Shoroshim. Our avoda in life is to get to that understanding that every positive command we're doing is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and every negative commandment is Lo Yelecha. On a deep level, we have to get to that realization. When we get to that realization, that clarity, the Torah becomes Muvan for us, becomes understandable for us. Okay? That's what it means. Every prat we have to bring back to the Klal. Ulevaya Hativ, right? And to explain this well, Inyan Zed Sarich Laskir Tchila Bektzara Inyan Umahut Achduto Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he has to explain to us the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to skip here a little bit. Kamosha Katuv. Atahu Ad Shalom Nivra Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was before the world. Atahu Mishin Nivra, after the world. You didn't change. Perish. Hu Mamesh Bli Shum Shinui. Without any difference. Ani Hashem Lo Shaniti. I didn't change. Ki olam hazeh v'ken kol ha'olamot elyonot. This physical world and all the higher spiritual worlds, einam po'alim shum shinui. They don't make any difference in the achduto yidbarach. Bi'baram, in that they were created, me'ayin liyesh, from nothing to being. Shekamosha hayahu levado, just as he was one alone. Hu yochid miyuchad, he's one, he's special. Kodim Hibraam, before they were created, Ken Hu Levado Hu Yachid Miuchad Achash Baram. So that doesn't make sense. Because hello, before he created them, there wasn't this world. After he created them, there is this world. Well, what is that? How can that happen? How can that be? So we're gonna go now into Tzimtzum. He's gonna talk a little bit about that. Mishum Tukula Kamei Kalo Choshu. That's his answer. The world in comparison to Kodesh Baruch Hu is not, it's nothing. V'kein v'efes, ka'ayin v'efes, like nothing. Mamash. Ki hit avot kol ha'olamot elyonim. All the spiritual worlds, v'tachtonim, and the lower worlds. Me'ayin yesh v'chiyutam, from nothing to something, and giving life to them, v'kiyumam, and establishing them. Hamekayimam shelo yachzeru liyot ayin ve'efes, someone who establishes them, right? And he establishes them from being nothing to something. K'shahaya, einu ela dva Hashem. That's only the words of Hashem. V'ruach piv yitbarach hamlubash behem. And the ruach piv of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's inside those words. So he's saying a moshul here. Ula moshul, k'mo benefesh adam, like a person. K'shemidame davar echad. He speaks something. Shedibu ze levado kolo mamish. His words is nothing. You spoke, it changed you. Made, had any effect. You're different to the word you spoke. I mean, I think, yeah. First, it does change, right? Afilu legabe klalot nafsho hamedaberet. Even with regards to his soul, the person speaks. Shu bechinet levush haemtzai shela. Shu koach hadibu, the koach of speech. The strength of speech, he can, person can speak, his neshama can speak in the vessel of his goof. Koshken now, that's his moach, his dibu. Koshken bechinat levush haprimi, so that's neshama. Shela shehi hamachshava shemenu nimshechet adiburim, the machshava vichiyutam, and it gives life to the words. Ein tzari lomer lagabi mahut v'atzmut hanefesh. Oh, he says koach hadibur, then it's koach hamachshava, then koach haneshama, right? Shen ese bechinoteh hanichzkev la'el, and those are his 10 bechinas, the chabad chagtam, right? The 10 spheres that he has. Shemehem nimshechu otiyot, from them came otiyot, letters, machshava, zu hamelubeshet bedibu zed, that are dressed in this dibu. Because shemedaber ki hamachshava hi gam kem bechinat otiyot, his thoughts also are bechinas otiyot, letters. Kmo hadibu, rak shehem ruchaniyot vedakot yoteh. Aval eser bechinat chabad, these 10 spheres that represented in his neshama, hen shor shemekor hamachshava ve'ein behem bechinas otziot adayin kodem shemitlabeshet b'levush hamachshava. He's saying like this. What's the mashal? When a person speaks, there's his kli that speaks, his mouth, his das that speaks, then his thought that speaks, then there's his inner rotzen, his inner neshama which speaks, that there it's only like letters, it's even not even formed of letters. There's a desire, right? And he's going to give an example. If a person sees anything that he desires, right? Before it gets into his heart and to his mind to think about these things, he has a very simple desire for it. Then it gets into his mind and then he thinks about how to get it, how to achieve those desires, right? Right. So that thing he says, right? For example, he wants to learn a chokhmah or to eat something, right? That's tasty. The desire is already in his heart. B'koa chokhmato v'sichlo v'yidiyato, right? Through his thinking. And afterwards, it went up to his heart, to his mind, to think and to desire to be maharher, how to bring this out into reality. Lasig, this chokhmah or this food in actuality, right? Okay, so what is he saying here? He's saying here that all these processes, even once these processes are done, when they're connected to your desire, the desire is part of you. But once you actually, they come out lefa'al, it's done, like you make your dibu, you do the thing that is done, it's finished, it's separated from you. It didn't change you. Says so too with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the world that he created, Kiviyachol, is like his dibu. And he's going to explain. Be'esem ma'amarot nivru ha'olam. With 10 statements, the world was created. He says, however, that there's a difference between the dibu of Kodesh Baruch Hu and the dibu of Basav Adam. The dibu of Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he spoke and he created the world, he still has a chibu to the world. He still has a connection to the world. He still gives chiyut to that dibu. He still gives life to the dibu. But biyachas to who he is, like in the mashal, in the comparative, a person doesn't give life to his dibu. Once he's spoken the word is dead from him. It's finished. It's cut off. It's nifsak. Right? Mila, the word mila in Hebrew, the word for word in Hebrew, is like mal, to cut. Lemul is to cut. A mila is, it's cut off from you. Spoke a word, it's cut off from you. It's separate, it's severed from you, right? That's a mila. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not that way. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has a complete chibul to his word. And that's the world he created with his dibul, with his word. You with me? Understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Clear? Okay. So, if we look at the comparative, a word in comparison to who a Kodesh Baruch Hu is nothing. It didn't change the person. So too, Kiviyochol, this world in comparison to the existence of Kodesh Baruch Hu is nothing. It's kolo klum. In comparison to his existence. It's like it's a transient thing in comparison to his existence. Yeah? So klape that, klape his existence, this world didn't make any shinui in achduto, in his oneness. Klape us, from our point of view, this world is our whole existence. It's our whole existence, it's the whole thing that we are. If it's the whole thing that we are, right? We can't understand something which is a bigger existence than where we exist. We can't fathom it. We can't understand an existence that makes our existence into nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So we can only understand our existence in this world from our own point of view. That's what they speak about mitzideinu. That's what he's coming to explain, the mitzideinu. Explaining it in this marshal. You understand? The mitzideinu is from our point of view. We can only understand our existence and even our relationship to that existence from our own point of view. From his point of view, it's something that's lo klum in comparison to his existence. Just as the word in comparison to who we are is nothing. The words you said yesterday, don't even remember. 10 years ago, don't even remember. There's nothing to you.
So then, when we die, what perspective are we looking at things from? It's not God's perspective, but it's also not this perspective.
Difficult question. Very difficult question. When a person, because this is the metzias of us, that we want that relationship and that our tshuka, our desire is to have that relationship and to return to the makor of achius, the shorish of achius, somehow there's an idbatlus of self, there's a nullification of self. And yet there can't be a nullification of self because we have a concept of schava onish.
Are we out of the realm of time? Or is time still a concept?
Physical time has no concept. There's no concept in spiritual worlds of time. There's no concept of time. Chazal will talk of it in time. There's no concept of time as we know time. It's a marshal of what we call time. It's not a real tangible thing that we... Time is the existence of a physical event. Doesn't exist anymore. In the spiritual world, there's no physical event.
I read a very interesting mashal for understanding the difference in perspective recently. If you mind.
Yeah, okay, so tell us.
So it takes it from a book in the late 1800s called Flatland, but the idea is there's a bunch of people living in a two-dimensional world, flat land, and so there's a circle and a square, and anyhow, Mr. Circle one day, a sphere, which is obviously a three-dimensional object, comes in to Mr. Circle's world. What's very interesting is when the sphere comes in, all he sees is the circles getting... So if you have a big sphere, initially, the first part of it, it looks like, oh, there's small circles, and the circles are getting bigger, right? Because circle can only see two-dimensional. So it's like, if you have a carrot going through a two-dimensional world, so at any given point, right,
you
this
see
is a carrot, section. This is the world, you see a cross-section of it, so you're only seeing cross-sections, whereas in actuality, it's a carrot.
Right.
It's a nice way to sort of think about
it. Right. There's certain things, you can't fathom. We can't fathom certain things. But you're right, the question is a very deep question. Because the tachlis of this world is for us to come back to our shorish, to come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's our tshuka, that's the desire of a person. But at the same time, coming back to him is removing our self-concept. I mean, there's levels of self-concept, but... Basically, the spiritual worlds and the hierarchy of spiritual worlds coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chazal speak about like the 8,000th year and the 10,000th year, which represent spiritual worlds. Now, obviously, these in terminology of years, it doesn't mean that we understand years. We understand that there's 6,000 years of this world, and there's a 7,000th year, which is Yimot Mashiach, which again, we don't know what that means, the 1,000th year. And there's like... there's a change in this world, the world is not longer a physical world. Then there's Tchias HaMeisim, and then you go to higher level spiritual worlds. The 8,000th year, the 10,000th year, these are higher spiritual worlds. And then Chazal tells us a very interesting thing. There's an infinite number of these spiritual worlds. They just told you a little section, but take the section and just apply them higher and higher. So from Chazal's point of view, and that's a concept of Shemitah v'Yovalot, in a deeper sense, the sevens, and it repeats itself. So in a certain sense, we're going through a cycle of closeness. Now, how close can you get to infinity?
You can't get anywhere close.
Right, we're still the same distance away, right? It's not a real question. And they're not talking about an infinity that you and I are talking about. Even in infinity, you can have, there's an algebra about infinities. The set of the real numbers, then the set, yeah, the set of sets, you know, out of zero, out of one, there's levels of infinity. You can even define mathematically level of infinities. We're not talking about the level of infinity. We're talking about beyond those levels. We're talking about something which is a real infinity, not an infinity you can count. So, like, when we talk about these things, we're getting closer, and yet we're the same distance apart. Doesn't make sense. And when we mevatel ourselves to each spiritual world we go through, more of ourself becomes a bottle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nullified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the same time, we're not nullified. So the question itself is an extremely difficult question to answer. And thinking on that level, we can't be tofes, we can't understand it. It's not something we can understand. Here we have to have emunah pshuta, we have to have simple emunah, that there's schar and there's onish for all our actions that we do in this world, because if we begin to think on that level, that we somehow nullify ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make sense, the concept of Schar and Onish. It doesn't make sense, the difference between human beings. It doesn't make sense anything. Because that's a place that we can't understand anything. That's a place where it's talking about that level of Kirva, even higher levels. Even when talking about the higher level spiritual worlds, even those worlds, as written so far, we can't understand. It means it's not something we can understand. We can't understand being a spiritual being nullified to a certain extent to our Creator and yet being separate. It's like it's a steer. Okay? So now let's go back here. Okay. So that's the Marshall. Hare diburo, so he says, his word umachshavto kiviyachom yuchedet imo betachlis ayichud. Right, his word is different from our word. It's connected to him betachlis ayichud, in complete unity. Derech mashal kamo diburo machshavto shel adam ba'odon b'koach chokhmato. When I'm speaking, and at the same moment that I'm speaking, I'm thinking, so there's a chibul, there's a connection of my word to my thinking. But that's only the moment that I'm thinking. As soon as I've said the word, as soon as that mila becomes, like I said, mila cut from me, so it's cut from my sechel, it's cut from my thought. It becomes, it's said already. You understand? But in the process of me thinking, it's connected to me. All of Kodesh Baruch Hu's words are always connected. There's no mila by Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no word. Only we have this concept of mila, of separation of a world. As we said, mila means from mal, notion of mila, bris mila, that's cut from us. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have that concept that his word is separated from who he is. But it's still, in comparison to his existence, it's nothing in comparison to who he is. Right? That's how he's explaining the Marshal. Okay. So it says, "V'or b'tshuka v'chemda shebelibo kodem sha'alta mehalev lemoach lahar heba b'chines otiyot v'sha'az hayu otiyot ha'machshava v'adibu hazeh nimshachot mechemda v'tshuka zu b'koach b'lev u'miyuchedet sham b'tachlis ha'yichud shoshan shehen chochma v'sechel shebemoach v'chemda v'tshuka shebelev." He's saying as follows. So this dibu, right, comes from a thought. And is right, which is, comes from a desire in his heart, right? And this desire in his heart comes from an inner shorish. And this is like his inner desire, and that inner desire to bring out this dibul, that inner, very inner pnimi desire, that's the yichud of that dibul to his innermost desire. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yichud with the world. That means the world is an extension, his dibur is an extension of his innermost desire. It's just an expression of that innermost desire. However, it's a dibur biyachas to his existence. Gam achashiyatza diburo yitbarach elapol bebriot haolamot. Just when it comes out in the creation of these worlds, kumor shaya miyuchad imo kodim briot haolamot. Just as it was before he created the world, right? His machshava was one with him. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, en shum shinui klal. There's no difference after it came out to before it came out. In other words, this inner desire by Kodesh Baruch Hu and the word itself never gets disconnected. Unrelated to us. Us, our thought and the word gets disconnected as soon as we say it, right? But the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. Right? Ela, el habruyim hamakablim chiyutam mibichinas dibur yitbarach. But to the creations that get their life from his dibur, mibichinas yitziyato kvar elapol, that actually come to be in existence, bebriyat haolamot, in the creation of the world, shemitlabesh behem, lachiyotam al yadei hishtalshalut mala le'ilul, through the Hishtalshalus. Now, we get Achius from these words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come from this inner Pnimius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It's just Mishtalshal, from Ila HaIlos, from the highest of highs. For your Reddit, Madrega HaMadregot, it goes down lower and lower. But Simtzumim Rabim, contractions after contractions, Shonim Ad Sheyuchlu HaBruim Lekabel Chiyutam, until they could receive their life, the havayotam, and their existence, mimenu, from him, v'lo yitbatlu b'metziyut, and they won't become nullified in his metziyut. You understand? This is what you were asking about. This is exactly what he's saying. He's saying, that why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu create the world in this way? In order that we would have kiyum and metziyut different from him. And he created us in a way through many, many contractions of this inner will of his, so that we would have a separation, not a separate, chas v'shalom, separation, we would have a seemingly separation from him. But lemaisa, everything that we have has complete chiyut, comes from him. The kol atzimtzumim, hem b'chines hest upon him, the complete, how you say hest upon him, the hidden face, yeah, hidden face, lastir, la'alim ha'or, to close and hide the awe, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'achiyut hanimshach midiburo, and the chiyut that comes from his dibur yitbarach, shelo yitgale v'b'chinas gilui rav, that won't be revealed in us in a big way, shelo yuchlu hatachtonim lekabel, that we won't be able to accept. After chas v'shalom, after tchias ha-meisim, then we go up to these higher worlds, and some of these tzimtzumim, some of these contractions get removed, and then we get closer and closer. That's what happens. And that's why it is the world of Schar. Given our voda here, more of those tzimtzumim get removed, and we get closer, and it's a process of getting closer at Ein Sof, to Kodesh Baruch Hu. L'chein, gam ken nidma lehem, o v'chiyut ha-dibur, shel makom Baruch Hu. It seems to us that the light and chiyus of the life, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hamlubash behem, that's mlubash in these words, ki'ilu hu davar hamuvdal mima'uto v'atzmuto. Because it comes out with all these tzimtzumim, all these contractions, so this world seems as something which is hidden and separate from his existence, yitbarach. So it seems like a dibur, which is like a dibur of a human being, which is disconnected from his first thought that he thought. But that's not true by Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's definitely connected, one with him. And whether it's dark, darkness looks like it's like light. Right? Gam choshech lo yachshich mimcha. Also darkness, in the dark, he won't be dark from you. He'll always be there. Mishum she'en hatzimtzuim v'levushim davar nifrad mimenu. These contractions aren't something which is separate from him. So now, this is very hard for us to understand. So I'm going to try and translate it a little bit. Here, what he's actually talking about is an understanding of a person has a... We all have existential crisis. We all have things we don't understand, the things that we... Yeah? A person in life you know, you'll be times where you feel really close, and there'll be times where you feel really far. And there'll be times when you feel like Parv, right? Those changes that happen in us, right? Those changes is basically when a person gets a recognition of his Creator, right, to a certain level that he feels him, the same time of feeling will be the same awareness of distance. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? When you're davening to your Creator and you feel close and you feel thing, you cry. Why are you crying? It should be...
Because you're immensely and passively far away.
The recognition of Him is a recognition of how far and distant you are. And the frustration of the inability of connecting causes you to cry. You understand what I'm saying? That is basically because if there was no real reality of connection, if there wasn't a chibur to this world, if this world was a separate world, so we could just live this world. It's Chas v'Shalom is a separate world. We could live in this world like many people live in this world. There would be no existential crisis. We have no problem with the world. The problem of humanity is that we realize in a deep way that we are connected to something bigger than us and we can't connect to it. That's the avoda. The avoda of a person is always going to be this, how you say this, this existential crisis. Yeah.
That,
yeah, okay, sure. We feel close, and when we're feeling close, we feel the most distant. And there's a joy in feeling close with a realization that you're distant. And lemaisa, that's the feeling the neshama has all the time, because it doesn't matter how close the neshama can be to his Creator, there's always a realization of the distance. And that cry and feeling of closeness and yet distance, right? That's the joy of the neshama. That's the joy. That's a joy that a person will feel when he's davening properly. It's not tears. It's not tears of pain. It's tears of yearning. It's tears of tshuka, of desire. You understand what I'm saying?
But if yearning is futile, why yearn? Because if you, to the extent that you always stay separate and after infinitely far away, and get back to Seth's question, even when you die, you're still infinitely far away. So,
fine, so
each drink can be merry because tomorrow will die.
Right. So, if you think about it in terms of logic, you're right. That's why these things aren't logical. You can only be understood in terms of a marshal, in terms of an analogy. Can't be understood in these are feelings. If you know someone loves you very dearly, you know it, you feel it, and you talk to them on the phone, and you're having a conversation with them. Is it a good feeling that you have that you can talk to them on the phone and this is a person who you feel loves you dearly? Or isn't it a good feeling? It's a better feeling to see them on Skype, right? It's less of a feeling just to have the knowledge that you know that they love you, right? But that knowledge of knowing that they love you is more important to you than seeing them. What happens if you don't know that they love you and you see them on Skype? You see them in person. It makes a difference to you? Zero difference. What makes those feelings feelings is the knowledge of the care. That knowledge of care, right? And that depth of knowledge we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. His dibur isn't separate from us. It only seems separate. The going in the hierarchy of the world is going from knowledge to phone call to Skype, and one day there'll be a hologram until eventually it gets better, those holograms, till you actually see him in person, which...
Transports.
Yeah, transports. Whatever, okay, yeah. Star Trek. I don't know what it is, right? Okay, we'll work it out, right? That doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? What makes us connected is that knowledge. That knowledge we can have here. Changing the kirva is just, you know what I'm saying? It's just like phone, Skype, I don't know, like hologram, I don't know, anything else, right? I can't think of any marshal, right? That's what the different levels of those spiritual worlds. I mean, Chazal, that you can speak of other spiritual worlds in the terms we're speaking, but in terms, you know, for us to be the Shabbat Ozen, that's the concept. There is a feeling of closeness. There's definitely a difference between a telephone call and Skype, or email, telephone, and Skype, right? It's definitely even a chat, right? So there is a difference. But the only reason there can be a difference is it's what our kesher is here. What knowledge we achieve here in this world of how much we care and he cares for us. That knowledge comes from Torah and Mitzvahs, Bika Torah. The ava a person has of his creator comes from his desire to know him. The more you desire to know him, the more knowledge you have of him, the more you realize how much he cares. Then, it's just a process later on. You understand? And you're always going to be in a place where it's not enough. Not enough. I want more. You're always going to look for more. You're always going to be... It doesn't have to be literally a crying in terms of, like, you cry. But there's always going to be a, like, I want more. It's not enough. I want more. I want to understand more. It's not enough for me what I have yesterday. I want more. You know, physical things, you want more. You know how much chocolate you can eat, right? Or schnitzel. How much you can eat? Yeah. It's good. After two or three pieces, like, you know, like, next week's good enough.
This one for later.
Okay, save it for later, right? But in terms of davening, in terms of feeling you're created, in terms of wanting, in terms of yearning, no one likes these existential crises. No one likes them. Right? No one likes them in the sense that we don't like the fact that we're in them, that we have to be in them, that we have to be far and yet coming closer. No one likes them. But this sphere that he created us in is the only way we can connect to him. Because he's something which is ne'elam from us, something which we can't completely be bottled to. So we're always going to have, that's what these Simpson means. That's what he's telling us here is something very, very fundamental about the world. Something very fundamental about life. That doesn't matter where we are in this hierarchy of life, the spiritual feeling that we feel is going to be with this. It's called in Chazal, Ratzov Veshov. Connecting, but realizing you're disconnecting. Connecting and realizing you're disconnecting. And even that higher level of connecting, you're going to have to disconnect. You can't live there. You have to come back down and eat a piece of schnitzel. You have to come down and, you know, schluff. You have to come down. You have to be real. But the ability to connect and then leave that connecting, right? It could be tefillah, it could be Torah, it could be all the mitzvahs that a person does, depending on who he is. Right? And desire for more tomorrow, that's life. And that's what life's all about. If we are, you know, on one leg, what we're going to say life's all about, that's it. It's having those moments where you feel, I love you, Hashem, yeah? I want you. I don't have enough of you. I want to connect. I'm not connecting enough. Give me more. And you yearn for more. You ask for more. And he gives you more. You have to want it. You have to desire it. Has to be something in you. Just as you, not a marshal, but it's a marshal of Chazal, it's a marshal of Shir Hashirim. Just as a person desires a wife that he loves, that's the desire and morefold that he has for his creator. That's a desire. And in a certain extent, that desire, there's always a loneliness there. There's always going to be a loneliness. Man's existential crisis is this loneliness of wanting to connect, and that wanting to connect, but with that connection to express. There will always be loneliness if that connection is not expressed. We're not Buddhists. We don't want to connect higher up and stay there. It has to be a connection that brings us down to express. You with me? Yeah.
If we understand from the Arizal that God created the world to give, and the purpose of the world is to give, and that's what the plants do, and that's what people do, and that's what animals do.
Animals are going to do that.
They give birth. They give birth.
Okay.
Whatever, they give new life.
Okay.
So, to take this existential crisis, I'm just trying to put this together in the bigger context, or maybe it's the same context. So we're saying is we had to be created in this way where we constantly feel a lack, where we constantly feel a distance that we yearn to close, to bridge that distance, so that God can continue to give to us. In what way is He giving to? Is He giving to us to bridge? Why the existential crisis is really the root question.
The desire, the reason for the separation, and the feeling of the separation, and the yearning to come close, is what brings us close. And the schar, the reward, is the closeness itself. We were created in that way, distant, in order that we will feel distant, but with his pneumius in that distance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here in that distance. In his deepo is his metzias, is he himself. Because he himself is here, I can connect to the he himself in that. Even though it's klum klape who he is, but I can connect to that he himself. And once I've connected, I want more. And that yearning for more makes me try more and go more.
That's a mechanism, but why that mechanism? Why is that?
That's the only way it can be.
Is that a way for to give to us? Or that has nothing to do with giving, that, it's just that's the way he decided to create it.
That's the only way it can be.
Why?
Because
we can't ask that question.
No, we can. This can be.
Why did God create?
No. Given the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the concept that we understand Him, who He is, He's Memale Olam. That means there can't exist anything apart from Him. The only way something can exist apart from Him is if He's Kivyochol, not Mitzido, Mitzideinu. Like I said, Klapei Him, it's Dibu. That's why it says the world was created with 10 mamarot, with 10 words. He separates himself from the world. Kivyochol dibur is mila, it's word, it's separated. Mila is mal, we said. He separates. He's saying it's not like us when we separate from the world. It's simtsumim. He's somehow covering himself. He's hiding himself to allow a world to be. That's the only way a world can be. There's only way something can be kivyochol without him, or not being him, is if he separates himself from that world. He's mitzamtzem himself. And therefore, by definition, we have to be in that world, this world of tzimtzumim. But he's here with us, feeling him, and wanting to break down those tzimtzumim, wanting to break down those contractions, wanting to come closer to him. And obviously, we can never come closer. So the only thing we can do is yearn, and that yearning itself will bring us closer. On levels, and that's a whole tafkid, that's a whole tachlis, to remove those simtsumin, to remove those masks, to remove the hester, and see him in the world. But we'll never get there.
With the precision of the simtsumin, even with the reawakening of the dead, ultimately you still have we can't undo the simtsumin. In order for us to actually not just merge back in with the infinite.
That's it. You got it. That's the question. That's his question originally. That's the same thing. That we can't understand. Because a Nivra can't understand being a Nivra and Habora. We can't understand being Bora himself. We can't understand that. That's impossible for us to understand. And we can never be there. So this is like, the world was created, but like, from our point of view, it goes on ad infinitum. Now, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, does it go on ad infinitum? There's no concept of time by Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no, like, it's a metzias of an existence that exists for him in maybe for him a period of time, not time that we understand, but for us it's ad infinitum. We can't talk in our terms. It's not terms we can discuss. You understand?
Yeah. There's a visceral reaction to an existential crisis. It's like we walk away from existential crisis. You walk away from things that are futile. That's what the world teaches. Walk away from things that are futile.
No. Here, this is not a futile thing. Here, this crisis, this feeling of closeness and yet distance, is what brings us close. That brings on us a yearning, and that brings us close. You know, when a person, I'm going to give it in your motion, you go into, people see beautiful views. You go to the Grand Canyon, you're standing by yourself, you see a beautiful view. What does that do to you? You see, I'm this small guy, see the Metzias out there, or you go and see a beautiful skyline. You alone, dark, in the middle of the desert, you see a beautiful skyline. And then what do you feel? You feel you're nothing, you're zero. This whole world is there. You're a complete zero. This complete nullification. Who am I? But what does that do to you? When you realize that the world is so much bigger than you and you're this little thing in this world, right? You should be depressed. You should feel bad. You don't feel bad. You feel there's a certain happiness. Why? An ant feels happy? If you're a little ant, you feel happy? If I was a little ant, I'd feel very bad. Because we're not a little ant. We're the reason for this whole creation. This whole big creation that I see, I'm a little ant, this was created for me. All this here was created for me. This big skyline, this Grand Canyon, this whole cosmos was created for me. That makes me feel, you did all of this for me? All of this that I feel like a zero in front of it? You did this for me? Who am I that you did this for me? I don't understand that. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. You did this for me? I'm worth that much? That's what I mean to you? And that brings a certain awe. The person gives you a big present and you know he's not, has no intentions with it. He just cares for you. What sort of awe that brings you to him? And then you don't need the Grand Canyon. I breathe. I see. I hear. When I eat schnitzel, it tastes good. I'm alive. You did that for me? I'm not this little goof over here. I mean, it's a good thing that I have it. But this isn't me. Just as I'm not my beggar I wear. I'm not this goof. There's something more inner in me. This is, for me, this whole mechanism called a goof so I can enjoy a piece of schnitzel. And you know, if you breathe, you know what it is to breathe? Hold your breath for 60 seconds and you'll like to breathe. It's great, it's geschmack. We just do it all the time, to smell something. He did that for you. He made this all work for you, for us. Who am I? When we realize, when you have a recognition of what he did for us, that gives a tremendous yearning of, that's how we created. When a person gives to you something, you want to give back. It's normal. If you're a normal human being, that's what you want to do. You want to give a whole self to him. Now we learn in Pirkei Avos, remember? That me and all that I have is his. That's a level, but that's what we're talking about. When we get to that level of recognition, that's the beginning of that's the avoda. To see that. That's what this wilderness does. That's what Grand Canyon does. That's what all this does. We can do without those things if you think deeply about your life and where you're going. You understand? Okay. Stop.